So welcome, Tuesday, October 5th. I don't know where the year is going. Sarah, good morning. Just jumped on. And we're this morning, what I wanted to, I'm going to bring into focus is the ear tea touch, which we had promised Ava, who is on the trail in Israel. She's in a hotel right now. She was planning to walk this trail. And she did it the one day, and then I talked to her. Some of you, Ro, you were on the call on Saturday, and I think yes. You might have been on the call too. And we heard her. She was out on the trail, but she had had real problems because she was carrying too much weight, which I don't understand why they don't advise people, because if you've never trekked somewhere, oh my God, I mean, I found I could only carry 10 pounds all day and walk when I walked from Kathmandu to up to the, toward the base camp at Everest in the 70s. And I started off, I only had like 15 or 20 pounds. It didn't seem like much and it was not possible. I wound up carrying like about 10 pounds on my back during the day. So we're going to hopefully have Ava on, and we're going to focus a little bit on what I promised to do is each day we would give her some part of tea touch to help herself. And I'm going to wait for that a little bit and see if she can manage to get on and if I can get a hold of her so she can tell us about her experience. But what I like to do with this, and Victoria, hi, you made it on. Welcome. What I would like to do this morning, which is what we do in a workshop when we come together, we always have each person share a little bit. And if we were in a workshop, I would have two of you pair up and tell each other your story, and then the other person tell that story. But since we're all here together like this, and it's a small group, I'm going to ask you just one thing. That first of all, where you are, hi Chanel, where you are in the world, and either you have a choice of telling either what brought you here to tea touch in the first place, or some one thing that you've gotten, just a short story, so that we get to know each other. We did a little bit of this a few weeks ago, but not everybody had a chance to share. So I'm going to just ask you, Who would like to start with this? And who would like to just tell what brought you to the tea touch world, however it was in the first place, and something that you take away, something gift that this work has given you, or this Zoom sessions actually have given you. Who wants to start? Okay, Lauren, hi. So where you're from first, so everyone gets to know.
San Diego.
San Diego, good, okay.
Baby, San Diego, yay.
Sorry?
We had rain last night.
So let's make this short. Everybody's just gonna have a short little piece.
I came because I was looking for help for my dogs.
Fantastic. Great. All right. And so have you gotten any help for your dogs?
Yes, and me. It's, yes. Yeah, they don't, they're sometimes on, sometimes off. They're willing. But I'm always willing.
Okay, what I would like to say that came up to me lying in bed this morning, thinking actually about your experience with dogs and what many people's first experience, particularly with their dogs or when they're working with someone else. I think one of the most important things, besides, of course, the breathing, is to support the weight of your own hand. Because when you go to touch an animal or another person and you rest your hand on them, that's already way too much contact. And so you support the weight of your own hand and then find ways to ask permission of your dog. I just want to give you this,
Good point.
By starting in the heart hug with yourself.
Good point.
So brings both. Us into that quiet place of calmness. And this is true whether we're talking, we're thinking of working with ourselves, or whether we're working with another person or an animal. And I'm just going to turn my phone off.
For me, the hard point that I'm struggling with is seeing perfection instead of what's wrong. And I'm struggling really hard.
Great. So that, Lauren, thank you. And we will come to that. And after we've done this process, because you're not alone, and that's really important. It's particularly important and pressing all of us in this day and age, because all around us, what is happening? So finding ways of supporting each other in seeing the beauty in ourselves, that's a huge challenge. And so it's, Lauren, thank you. And I'd just like to know, just a show of hands, how many of the rest of you find it often difficult to find the positive in a situation? I think we all do. It's a common thing. And the question is, what are the processes we can do? What can we do to get over that? Because that is human. And I'll go into that later. So, Lauren, that was absolutely perfect. And does it help you at all to know that it's not just you?
Actually, very much so. The group is deeply meaningful.
Great.
Linda, Anna raised her hand.
Thank you, Kirsten, if you'll just watch the hands. Anna, please.
When I think about starting my 4-year training with the Feldenkrais method, and when I think about my whole life singing with trees, and I think I mentioned when I completed my 4-year training in May of 2010. And I flew down to see my parents, and that was the last time I saw my dad. And I realized I was going to learn to forgive him because I knew he was going to pass away. And I realized I would not have understood that if it wasn't for the Feldenkrais method. He passed away on September 13th, 2010. And when I think about studying with Jean Houston around the whole idea of quantum evolution, and when I think how I connected with you, it's because of your enlightenment around us being quantum creatures and the whole idea that we're all interconnected with all life forms. And every time you take us into the forest, I just want to sing to you. Eleanor, Kirsten, everybody, the whole community. So when I think about what I've been doing this past week, I started last week, I didn't say very much about it. But with Moshe, we would always, through the practice with Angel and Richard, I got to learn when you put your hand kind of underneath your, underneath your arm, you kind of turn this way, you pull that, then you go the other way. Now I'm doing T-touch. I start here, I go around, and I go here. I can do that when I'm in public at a restaurant because nobody even knows what I'm doing. But for me to do that with a circle and a quarter, and then go, it's been amazing to take the different things that I've always been doing to stay inside myself through the you know, different ATMs, but now to do it all integrated with T-Touch has made me giggle and smile every single moment. So thanks again.
Thank you. And if I may just remind you, I'll just say this, that Anna had a lot to forgive her father for, and a lot of very, very, very devastating experiences as a child. And that concept of forgiveness that we practice, this Ho'oponopono, this Hawaiian prayer of forgiveness, and these simple statements that, please forgive me, I'm sorry, thank you, I love you, in every situation is so empowering. And it is, I think that one of the reasons it's so powerful is it's been used by just countless people around the world. It has been translated to so many languages. And this is a little book we're talking about, Ro. I think the rest of you know that, and if you can write in the chat, I think the book that I recommend first is the book by Ulrich Dupree. It's a short little book with a beautiful explanation, and I've read it over and over and over. So if you're interested, everybody can use this in your lives. So I think we have, let me just try to get a hold of, I have a feeling that Ava tried to call and couldn't get on. So I just want to let her know. Kirsten, could you give her a call? Let me give you her number and tell her how she can listen in on the phone, because she probably doesn't have enough bandwidth. Let me give you, did I give you her number?
No.
Okay, it's +978-228-3545. You can WhatsApp her. Call her on WhatsApp.
Okay.
Thanks. And who is next? We had their hand up next. Jewel. I see you. Oh yeah, you're muted.
There we go. Yes, and I had a little hand up, actually in the corner. I will give my story quickly. I've told this story many times, and it'll be entirely different. I'm a very serious gardener. And for a number of years, I had gone to this plant conference up in the mountains of North Carolina and had enjoyed it immensely, looked forward to it every year. Well, I get the program, and there's not a single program that I'm interested in. Nobody, nothing. So I'm like, what am I going to do with that time? So my husband and I had a running joke that I was going to be a dog massage person. So I just Googled dog massage, and up pops this class, 45 minutes from my house, same time frame, almost exactly the same amount of money. So I said, what the heck? I'll go.
What year was that?
Oh gosh, I'd have to look it up. It's
approximately
been 14, 15 years ago.
Right.
And my first training was with Edie Jane, for those of you who know her. I won't say I was hooked on the first day, but by the end of the second day, I was hooked. And it has opened up so much in my life and brought me so much. And that's how I came to T-Touch.
Great. Thank you. And she's I love to tell this story. She's an ambassador for all sea turtles, all turtles, right? But especially sea turtles. Thank you. All right.
Who's Linda, next? Could you double check the number again, because I cannot get through.
978-226-3545.
226, not 8.
226-3545.
I will try again. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Sorry, who's next? Chanel.
Oh, wait. I forgot to say, okay. I live in North Carolina.
Right. And what I would remind you of, actually, one thing that this work is, I mean, many things that it's done, but through this process on Zoom, Jewel has been able to work with her knees that were bone on bone. And how are you doing?
Yeah, my knees are really pretty great.
Unbelievable. Yeah. With T-Touch.
Yeah, I kind of, I would like to get x-rays now to see what they actually look like, but.
I'm not sure it's a good idea. Ask yourself, use your body kinesiology. I would not do it because we tend to believe the x-rays, and it's really shocking when you see, you know, so maybe how you visualize it, how you have been. Because the only reason she didn't get surgery during the time, for those of you who don't realize that, because of COVID, there was no one to take care of her. So that's why she had to continue, even though she was in like an 8 or 9 pain when we started, just on this, guiding her on like this on the screen. So let's go on. And I'm going to ask you, actually, I'm going to ask each person to add in just one thing that you've been able to deal with in your body for T-Touch, just an overview of it. So Angela, your hand is up, and then we'll take Ro.
Well, it was through the animals I came to T-Touch. So my dog, Frank, needed a little bit of help, and I found a lovely lady in Scotland, of all places. I'm down near London in the UK, so we couldn't really get further apart in this country. And she taught me so many wonderful things, which worked on the dog, and I just started trying them on the horses, not realizing that that was where T-Touch originated from. And wow, the results were absolutely amazing. And I then joined Linda on the T-Touch for Horses course, and that was it. I was absolutely hooked, and I'm just so passionate about it. And if it hadn't have been for the animals and seeing how it worked and the results I'm getting working with the animals, I think I would have really struggled with everything I've gone through with my back. But I think it's led me to this group. And I think this is what's kept me going and kept me, you know, it's been hard to be positive all the time, but everyone says to me, how do you keep going when you're in so much discomfort? And I'm saying it's the group, it's Linda, it's T-Touch, it's the animals. And I don't think I'd be in the place I am now if it wasn't for you lovely people. So thank you.
Thank you. So I think Ro was next, and then Katarina. Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, sorry, Chanel. Sorry. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Ro.
I'm Ro, and I'm from cool California. I've known Linda, it's embarrassing, since the 50s.
And how exciting.
I know it. It really is when you think about it. I've been... drawn to your theories, your thoughts, of course, I've seen you in seminars for AERC. You've come here to different events and horse shows. I looked the other day, Sunday, after we talked I know I have some of your books. I only found the little green horse one, and then the cards. Do you remember the cards?
Oh yeah, of course. We still have them. Yeah.
I'm going to have to reacquaint because I'm a very visual person. I was drawn to you because of love of animals and mainly horses, who have been a passion in my life. I'm going to say, use the word, it's a negative word, but I was forced into giving up horses because I broke my back in 1998. I continued to ride against advice of the medical profession. And I've intermittently used, I'm not sure properly, T-Touch on my horses and my self. And I reacquainted with you, Linda, because of the aging process is not going well for me. I'm not dealing with it well. Then I got, when I gave up horses due to the doctors, I mean, it was a sort of a horrendous thing that they said to me. They said, if you don't stop riding and interacting so much with horses, you are going to, because of your back, which is totally trash, you are going to, if you had a hard fall off a horse, you'd probably be paralyzed. And my husband had passed away. I'm on my own. I'm not going to get married again. It's not worth it for me at this point. So I sort of drifted off away into the sunset and things, and started thinking of you intermittently. I see things, and I saw your thing for your group at different things. I need it for T-Touch and to learn and to develop the touch for myself. I have an old dog, a border collie that's 13 and the most amazing dog in the world. She's going downhill. I have a cat who just developed kidney problems. And that was actually the thing that got me going and back and looking. And I know a friend of Linda's, Shannon Weil, who wrote your book, Strike a Long Trot, which is amazing. And that drew me back into finding you. So now I want to be with your group and learn and help myself. I am the bionic woman, and I really appreciated Jewel's comments and your comments about the knees. I'm bone on bone on my shoulder. And it's got all kinds of wires in it where they wired everything together. I'm plated on my elbow. I can't rotate my hand like that on my right hand. You know, it's age. It's what we've done to our bodies. It's being active. I'm an endurance rider. I have multiple Tevis buckles. And that's another way I got acquainted with Linda. Our lives seem to go like this, Linda, for whatever reason.
Right. Yeah,
I don't know why. So that's my story. I want to learn. I want to help myself because I'm not in a good place with old age. I'm just not.
So thank you, Ro. And for those who just joined us, I saw who else? Marnie, I didn't say. Hi, Lisa. Hello. Nice to see you. We're just doing a little bit of sharing here. And one of the reasons, the way I run, and Denise, I didn't even say hi to Denise this morning in Munich. What with this class Tuesday, Live with Linda and Friends, I do this intuitively, just like I developed T-Touch. And the reason is, when we do this, if I have a plan, then I don't take advantage of your experiences, because the collective experiences of all of us here and the opportunity to listen to others and hear, holy mackerel, I mean, what we go through and what we're able to deal with is it's very much worth sharing, as long as we keep on the track of interesting and what can I do to help myself, or what can I do to help someone else? And I'm going to, as between the stories here that we hear, I'm going to throw in, I'm going to take that and then throw in. So when we're dealing with adversity and things that, you know, don't work as well. I mean, I have a plate also here, a row right here from a tumble down an escalator like about 3 years ago in the LAX in the airport. And people are horrified when they talk about it. That horrific fall. I said, come on, it wasn't a horrific fall. Why? Because I chose not to make it so. First of all, how did I see it as positive? Oh my gosh, you all. I mean, think what would have happened if somebody hadn't yelled, stop the escalator. And we're, this is one of the really long ones. And somebody was at the top and just knew where to push the button. And the fact is, as I what happened is I put, foolishly, it's the only time I've traveled alone in years. I always have someone with me. And I had four suitcases and I was on a way to do a training in North Carolina. And it was late at night and I was stopping in LAX to stay overnight and then fly on the next day. And they changed the elevator. They changed the buses to the hotels. So I went down and then it was then 9:30 at night and it was a long way back to the elevator. So I tried the escalator. So I pushed my cart up and it's above me. Now in Germany, if the escalator is okay for a cart, it has a long flat place at the top where you can organize yourself, you're flat and you go right up. And they have a post at the bottom that says, don't, you cannot go here with your cart. No post, I figure it's gotta be safe. So I get up there to the top and I go to push it up and there is no flat space and my cart wheel got caught and flipped me over and I flipped down the escalator. Don't go horrified, because the great thing is, as Ro knows, riders, I know how to fall. Listen, there was no one behind me. That's miracle number one. Number two is when I stopped, I landed head up, feet down below me, up against, leaning up against the side, the escalator stopped. These are all things that were incredible. So the really nice, you know, one of the guys came running down. I said, just give me a little time here. I just sat there, breathed a little bit, did a little bit of ERT touch on myself. And I was basically felt okay. So he helped me down. We walked down the escalator. I waited for the ambulance. And when I got to the hotel, I had blood all over here. And it was my favorite sweater kind of thing that I got in Switzerland. And I said, please don't cut that off. So they took it carefully off. And then I said, oh, and I saw how much, oh, well, it's going to be a throwaway. No, no. The nurse said, no, you can get that blood out. That's not a problem. And then, so this was open. So they had to do surgery right away on it. This was broken here. Double break on the humerus. But they couldn't do that because it was all like swollen. So the nurse, so I had these big scratch marks. For those of you who have seen it, I should show it to you again. I had like claw marks on my leg. And the nurse said, oh, do you want me to take a picture for Facebook? I said, yes, let's do it. And they were so kind to me. We were just, you know, laughing and carrying on. It was like, then it was midnight. And I wasn't in any pain because, you know, your body has this amazing ability not to be in pain if you're not afraid. And so, I made up this story that I put on Facebook and I said that it was a bear claw. And I didn't say, you know, they knew I fell down the escalator, but I said, forget that. I just happened onto a bear den and I surprised this bear. He was asleep and I startled him and he accidentally scratched me and then ran away and the bear is okay. And I just have these little scratches here. So everybody got to laugh and that really made a difference. Instead of me feeling, oh, poor me, I thought, oh my God, lucky me, man. I'm here in this amazing hospital. They were incredibly kind to me. They gave me a private room, which I didn't expect. I mean, I thought they just put me somewhere and everybody was incredible. And the fact is I consciously chose to force myself to look at the upside. And we can always find some upside. And it's not easy though. It's not easy when you're dealing like Ro, like me, I've got arthritis, autoimmune disease of the thyroid, leaky gut, all this stuff that I know came on from COVID. It just came on suddenly. And the thyroid thing. And sometimes you all, I'll be here with you all like this and it's fantastic. I'm on a stool that moves. See, I can swing this around. It looks like a saddle. So I can move. If I was sitting on a chair, I'd be still. And that's not so good for my body. because I can keep doing this. And but when I get up, I'll tell you, for the first few minutes, usually I'm really stiff. So I can say, oh, poor me. Or I can say, come on, move it, like keep moving. And in 5 minutes, I'll be okay. On another day, I'll get up and I have to go and lie down. I can't move. Now, why? Because you all, my progesterone and estrogen is out of whack. And I forgot to be doing the progesterone cream that my naturopathic doctor gave me. Like, and I've been off it like about 4 months, and all this stuff is interrelated. Sorry, I'm going to sneeze in a second. I'm going to mute. Sorry. So, I have to make sure my AirPods here. Yep, good. I'm good. So all these things, and holy mackerel, if I didn't have so much support, like I've got two integrative doctors who are close friends. My daughter-in-law is a naturopathic doctor. I have a really great naturopathic doctor here and an integrative doctor. Why do I go to all of these people? Because I'm telling you, what is really weird is everybody has another thought and another possibility. And those of you who saw that gastrointestinal thing that I'm taking, I'm really happy about. When I ran out of it, I just went to the health food store and I said, what have you got for, you know, gastrointestinal stuff? And he gave me something and I thought it was great. It did nothing for me. And then I really read the label carefully. It was completely different. So you have to find what works for you and then, you know, use muscle testing. But I made a mistake with the muscle testing because I muscle tested and said I didn't need progesterone. But I'll tell you, that's not what I'm reading in a book that Eleanor turned me on to. And I really recommend for those of you who are postmenopausal at any age, really worth looking at this book as one of the things to check. And I'm surprised actually that Sage is not here, because this is what she's dealing with, is postmenopausal stuff, because we change. And it's a book called, and Kirsten, maybe you can write this in, it's Hormones, Health, and Happiness. And the doctor's name, he's in Houston, and his name is Hotze, H-O-T-Z-E, or H-O-T-Z-A-A, I forget what E or A. Anyway, and we have to look at all these things. And the point is, I'm bringing this up because you're talking about aging, Ro. I mean, this bone on bone thing, you know, is dealing with, I know some of you have been dealing with experiences in your lives before that created much trauma. And with all of it, we can work with T-Touch to help ourselves. And when we hear that we're not alone, I hope that we find that it really helps. And hi, Megan, you made it on. Nice to see you. So I would like to break in, because we're going to do some listening, but then do some T-touching. So I was hoping to get Ava on, but Kirsten, what happened? Could she not make the connection?
It took me a while to find the correct number. This number did not work. It's not a cell phone. So I could not get her on the phone, but I sent her a message on WhatsApp. So that's all I could
do. How strange, because I just talked to her about 30 minutes before we got on that number.
But you have two raised hands still too.
I know. Thank you.
Okay.
So we sent her it. So what I was going to say, what I was going to show Ava, and I'm going to, as I say, I'm going to intersperse this with T-Touch help. So I want to talk about the ear T-Touch. And the reason that I wanted it for Ava, is that when you're on the trail like this, and unfortunately she set off and hadn't prepared for this. If you're going to walk for a month, you have got to do your homework before and be out walking and building up your strength to walk, because your body just can't do it, especially since she's, I believe, in her, what, probably 60s. So with the ERT touch, and I'm going to show you this again, I'm going to have you do it. Sage, I just spoke about you and your hormone thing. So anyway, so I'm going to have us all do the ERT touch because it can save a life. So actually, you put your thumb behind your ear, the earlobe. This is the way I do it. Some people turn it the other way around. I can't do that. So I put the thumb behind the earlobe. I take my forefinger. I fold my other fingers back. Take the forefinger. Oops. And you can put me on speaker view so you can see a little better. Forefinger, circle, and I do a slide. Slightly, it's like a slightly up direction and a little, just a little pull upward, little stretch. Take a deep breath. Now go into this valley of the ear here. It's a little called a conch. Hey, Ava made it on. Hi, Ava. Perfect timing. So we're just talking about the ERT touch and why it would be helpful for anyone but you on the trail. Let's see if you can. So you put your finger in that little area there and circle and a little slide. And be careful when you slide over it, like don't flip off the ear. So you kind of slide like this between your thumb and forefinger. Now, why is this particular area important? If that's the only area you can reach, that affects your heart and your lungs. And it's where the vagus nerve ties in from heart, lungs, gut, the whole thing. It's like the vagus system comes up and connects right in here. So you can affect your entire system. Now at the top of my finger, right in that, if you make a little mark right in here, that's where the point is. If a doctor was going to put a staple in there to affect your breathing, your lungs, or your heart, that's where they would put it. So a little circle and a little slide. Now put your thumb on the back of the ear. Can you feel there's a little indentation in there? That's where the trigeminal nerve comes in. So I do go to the center of the ear, circle, and a little slide upward. And a deep breath. Now do it gently and then just come on up. So if I've got somebody in shock, I'll do four of these, four slides. And I do it. And you may, if a person is unconscious, I may not do the circle first. I may just do the slide. If the slide's easier for you, do that. And a little bit of a stretch like that. Be careful up on the top because some people have very stiff little hoods on their ears here. If it's stiff, you have to come up and be very gentle going over that. Now, why does it work? Because in this ear are connections to all parts of the body. And I just want to, I have this book here. This is a collection of about 300 pages. And see, oops, there, those are listings, all the different parts of the body that are affected by this. And these are collected from practitioners. This is already probably 20 years old. This is how long we've been doing this stuff. And this is ERT touch for shock. And I want you to hear this because if a person is in shock, or to keep them out of shock or bring them out of shock, you can use this ERT touch. And we have so many cases of this over the years for humans and horses and cats and dogs. So listen, this is a very short one. In September 1995, I was working in our woods in a very isolated location. I stepped onto a buried yellow jacket nest and received multiple stings. By the time I reached my house, I was going into anaphylactic shock. I managed to call my neighbor four farms over, who came to take me to the nearest hospital 25 minutes away. En route, I began to lose consciousness and had great difficulty deep breathing. Just before passing out, I remembered the ERT touch and began to work my ears. The ear work brought me back to consciousness and enabled me to breathe. When I reached the ER and my hand and arm were put into blood pressure cuffs and digital oxygen meter, I began to lose consciousness again. I asked the nurse to free me my hand so I could continue to work one ear until I received stuff to get you out of shock. She looked puzzled and released one hand. I reassumed ear work and myself and remained conscious and breathing, received my shots and was able to leave the ER several hours later. It has done wonderful things for my two horses and it saved my life. Now, I know on Saturday, Ro was on the call that we did and somebody told a story like that, going into shock and managing to get to help in time. And if you just, you can keep from passing out. And this is not a theory. We have enough that we absolutely know if you can just get your hands to your ears, keep doing it until you can get help, because you've got to get that shot. And I just want to know, there are all kinds of stories here. This is a little short story from Susie Steinberg, another of our horse practitioners. And this is ear work following a heart attack. Dear Linda, 2 days ago, I worked the ears of a friend who had just suffered a heart attack. At the time I arrived, he was stable and on an IV drip in the hospital. He was, however, very, very cold, even though covered with a comforter and three blankets. After 3 minutes of ear tea touch, he was scorching hot and we removed all coverings but one. It was the fastest response I've seen yet. He became much more comfortable and quite grateful. And the thing is that it's not always that fast. If you have a person in shock, oh my gosh. I mean, I've had a person in deep emotional shock where it took a lot. I mean, we had a person one time in really hot water in a hot bath and still, the body just temperature drops. You can keep it up. Now, if it's hot out, you all, and you work your ears, you want to wet your fingers for your horses, your dogs, even your kitties. Just wet your fingers or yourself. Because if it's hot and your temperature is too high, you can also lower it, which is what our vets have found. Because this ear tea touch regulates temperature. So I'm going to give this to you. Just remember, any situation where you're fatigued, if you're out somewhere or you're injured while you're waiting for medical help, it's never a replacement for emergency help, but it's what can keep you alive until you can get that help. So I really wanted to bring this ear tea touch. If Ava was not able to stay on, it looks like she didn't have a strong enough connection in the hotel she's in. We're going to send her, we made a little video and we're going to send her a video for this. Yeah. Does anyone have, oh, you're here, you made it. Oh, fantastic.
Thank you, Linda. You never do the two ears together? No.
Yes, you can. No, you can do both together if you have the strength, but it takes a lot. You know, your arms are up there. If you do one and then rest the other, it doesn't matter
the right or the left. It can be the right ear, the left ear.
Whatever you can reach.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever. Ava is in Israel, for those of you who just came, who haven't seen her before. I'm so glad you made it on. We'll talk about your story a little later, Ava.
Yeah.
So does anyone have any experiences with ear tea touch that you would share? Because it's through the sharing. And remember, it can save a life. It can keep you alive till you can get help. It can bring you out of shock. If you're in surgery, if you just do that gentle ear tea touch for your dogs, your horses, or yourself, instead of having ages you know, it can take a dog hours to come out of shock, out of anesthesia, or a horse, or yourself. For me, before I knew T-Touch, it took hours to come out. And it's about 10 minutes if you do know it. Anybody else have a T-Touch story that you would like to share at this point?
There are three raised hands, Linda.
I know, I'm seeing them. Oh, right now, you mean about the T-Touch stories. I'm talking about first the T-Touch stories. Okay, is it Liza or Lisa? I always forget. Liza.
It's just a thing I want to say, but I was watching Netflix called Heartland. Have you heard it, Linda?
What is it?
Heartland.
Oh, of course. Do you know that the mother of the girl went to Robin's clinic and actually got a T-Touch certificate?
Because they talk about T-Touch and they show.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, that's all I wanted to say. I just wanted you to know. I'm going, oh my God, they're doing T-Touch on Netflix. It was so great. If none of you have seen the Heartland Netflix, it's a beautiful story about listening to horses and animals. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Okay, great. Who has a T-Touch story? Kirsten, I'll go back to my overview. Nobody? Nobody's used your T-Touch for anything?
Linda, it's safe. I can always jump in if you need.
Yeah.
Unless jump there's in. Somebody else. Yeah, if there's somebody else that wants
no,
to go. I've got
go ahead.
Your stories. I think the first one that comes up is a dog story.
No, let's do humans right now. Let's
I'll switch over to a human. I was on an airplane and you know, the thing that comes over the loudspeaker when they say is that we need a doctor, and somebody had passed out in the back of the airplane, and unknown why, and so the flight attendants were back with that person, and they were seemingly inebriated and we weren't really sure what was going on. So anyway, long story short, they kept asking for a doctor. And finally, my husband just kind of nudged me and said, you should just go. So I walked to the back of the plane, and without touching the person, I talked with the flight attendants and I said, I told them a little bit about what I do for a living with the T-Touch work, and very little. And I said, if you stroke this person's ears, it may help them come out of this state. And we weren't sure at that point what the reason was. We just knew the person had passed out and there was nobody on the plane that could help them with anything. And so the flight attendant just started to stroke this person's ears. And I'm not kidding, within moments, boom, all of a sudden the eyes opened. And that's when we realized the person was seemingly inebriated. We could smell the alcohol, but just in a few moments on an airplane, it helped that person come out of being passed out. And what I did was I taught the flight attendants, and then I ended up having all the flight attendants coming up and asking, what did you do? Can you teach us? We want to use this on the plane. So that was one story. Do you want another one? I can just
We'll just do that one, because they're endless stories.
Yeah.
And the thing on planes, we have many, many situations on planes. T-Touch for babies who are crying on the flights to Europe, you know, and just really in distress. And that's where you do the very gentle cut, little gentle pulls at the same time with stretches to help that. But it's incredible. Or somebody on the plane with Alzheimer's, you know, who just won't settle, and they're going to have to really throwing a fit and going to have to turn the plane around. This happened with one of our Danielle Azur on a flight to Europe, and just have the person with that person do the ear teacher, just show it on yourself and then have them do it on the other person. So it's incredibly, incredibly helpful. But does anyone have any questions about it before we go on? Sarah?
Yes. About the speed of the ear touch, because I tried two ways. I did it like fast, and I did it a little bit slower. But honestly, both ways sedate me. Like I start to yawning and I start to get a little bit sleepy. So I want to understand if the speed change or kind of why it makes me really like, I start to yawning.
I don't know. Maybe you were tired. Seriously, knowing you, I think you're in a state of fatigue.
Because every time I did the T-touch in the ears put me.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I just saw you doing.
Yes.
You're going down.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Upward.
Upward.
Upward. Slightly upward. Because down is a downer. I don't know why that, I have no idea why that's true, but it definitely is for me.
So probably I'm doing it wrong.
Well, you've been doing it differently. And the thing is, it's slightly upward. I always say like about a 15 degrees slightly upward and a little stretch outward.
Okay. And the speed change the fact or it doesn't matter how fast I do it?
Well, if you want to put yourself to sleep, go slowly and lightly. And if you're in a situation where you're in pain or in shock, go faster. And if you're in a situation where you've got a digestive upset, I mean, I always say this and, you know, kind of as a joke, but it's really not a joke. If you have eaten too much and you're really uncomfortable, you can do these slow tea touches on your ears, and in less than what, Sage, maybe a minute, less than a minute, you'll clear your full feeling and you'll be able to eat that dessert. That's what we always say. Bad idea, but it works. And also, if a person can't eat, I've used this in Soweto for working with children with God, my brain is a little bit over.
I saw Simila working with the ear with a kid with swallow problems and like chronic disease. I saw her video. It was amazing.
Yes, absolutely.
Just with the, she did it like slow and light.
Right.
I remember that. I was impressed. I never saw something like that.
But it affects the entire ear. You really need to know this. I mean, it's logical. And there are doctors who only do the ears. They just put staples in your ears to affect you. Now, when you do the ear tea touches like we do and cover every part of it, we are activating the entire nervous system and immune system and all the organs. So I'm going to keep bringing this up to you because we tend to forget. And it's upward, Ava. Be really careful that you have this tendency upward instead of the down thing.
Thank Interesting. You.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm not kidding about you are, I know you're burning the candle at both ends, Sarah. And when you're tired, it's not unusual to start yawning.
Yeah.
So is there any other question like that? Because that was really important and really, really helpful. And you'll have to wave your hand because we have lots of hands waiting to go up from before. So I don't know what's current. I'll just go down and see if there's anyone here below. Okay. So now I'm going to, and as I go now, if somebody has a burning question that comes up from something that someone says, I'm going to jump in and answer it. Now, this is a style of teaching that is, they just started actually recognizing this. I don't know, maybe it's within the last 10 years. It could be as long as 10 years. This idea that instead of having a planned curriculum, that if you have a body of work and everybody's interested in that same body of work, instead of going by a curriculum, you go by the questions and the concerns that come up. And you have this body of work as we do. We have our nine elements and we have all the different parts of the hand that we use for tea touches. And we have this understanding of the basic circle, breath, pause, intent, these things from the nine elements. We have that body of work. And so within that body of work, I'm going to keep just bringing in things like this ear T-touch, like the speed of the T-touch, 1, 2, or 3 second circle, what that means.
Linda, so, Linda?
Yes.
Could you, I love this idea. I really do, the way of orienting a meeting of common people together. And who developed that? Or is there something?
That was at the University of Arizona. And is that true? Or did I get that from Cecilia? It's one of the professors that, one of the PhDs that who are friends of mine, who are teaching, they're teachers. And it's a different way of being. We've all learned this logical curriculum way. If I had to teach by a curriculum, you wouldn't be seeing me because I wouldn't be learning. This way, I'm responding to what your questions are, what your issues are, and we talk story and bring the information through in the story form instead of this, you know. It still is logical because we have the nine elements and we need to keep going back to those and going back to, wait a minute, the quality of the circle makes a huge, huge difference. And I want you just to, Ro, actually, just so all of you put your hands up and catch the tissue. And let's do something that Robin likes to do. Let's see if I can do this so you can see it. Yeah, how can I get this? So you can see my little finger. I'm going to do the T-touch with the little finger. In other words, move the skin around with the little finger. Now, I'm going to take the ring finger and move the skin. And now, my middle finger, my longest, and then the forefinger. And it's when you do this, like if you're teaching this to someone else, for sure, they're going to think, oh yeah, I do a circle. I do it over the skin. How do we get them to catch the skin? And I'm going to keep bringing in like one of the elements that really makes a difference, of course, is the pressure. Absolutely, the pressure. And with T-touch, with the most of this work that we're doing, we're using, like we have this whole concept of pressure. I'm going to remind you, 1 to 10. Why do we have 1 to 10 when usually, like right here, when I'm just working on my hand, I just use enough contact or pressure to move the skin. So we're talking like a 2. So when might I use a 6? Most of the work we do is like with 1 to 2 to 3. Let me show you where I used a 6 this morning. If I lay on my left side, and by the way, Saturday is going to be very exciting with Eleanor because we're going to be exploring the function of the liver. And the reason it's interesting to me is that if I lay on my left side, I get a severe pain in here. And this is how I discovered this touch with that part of the hand that we call the ram. And I really go in with all the pressure I can use. Anything else doesn't work for me, but that in about 3 or 4 T-touches, I can just, hold on.
Linda, you're muted right now.
Thank you. I didn't catch it. So, I mean, in three or four T-touches, and I'm using all the pressure I can with that part, and I can stop the pain. Interesting, eh? And it only comes if I lie on my left side in a certain way. On the right side, if I lie on the right, it doesn't bother me at all. So these are just some little tips. Now, I'm going to ask, because I jumped over Chanel, who had her hand up and she was supposed to be next. So Chanel, I'm going to take you next.
Oh, hi, Linda. Yeah, that's fine. I may have introduced myself before. I can't remember.
No, you have, but just a short, again, we don't remember everything.
My name is Chanel, and I live in Kelowna, BC, and I started Tea Touch when I got a library book for all horse trainers, training as many books as I could find in the library, and then I really felt like I was loving Linda's book for horse training, and I had problems with my horse, and so I continued on with the looking up more books and information. Then I found Robin's Tea Touch Farm in Vernon, and I went for a training class for dogs because it's also good for horses. Mm-hmm. And although I don't have a dog, I do have a cat. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I found you, Linda, and I think you called me one day from Hawaii, and I just felt like I was talking to a superstar. And my life has completely changed since then because I use Tea Touch every day. And if you were here, you'd probably get Tea Touched from me because I'm just excited about this new Tea Touch I learned with that Robin likes with single fingers.
Right.
And you don't know.
It's just for practice. Right.
For practice. And I had to take myself out of psychogenic shock. It feels like sometimes, and I use this to do that and your Tea Touch to do that. So thanks.
Right. And around the mouth, you can just use the pads of your fingers.
Okay.
Just around the mouth for any emotional issues. You can do this whole thing, but you don't, you know, you can be sitting in a group and have like be really concerned and nervous, and they can't really see what you're doing, you know, when you do that, because anything emotional around our mouths we can deal with. Great, thanks. Okay, let's take one more, and then we're going to take a 10-minute break. And actually, I think the one more, because Ava, you're going to go to sleep soon. Would you just tell us a little about our story? Because we were going to support Ava on her on a walk on a trail in Israel, and it was just too much. Can you talk about it, your experience?
And a little bit. Yeah. So yeah, I kept you posted on the idea that I had and the dream of doing that trail of Israel from north to south with this group that I saw on internet, and it sounded great to me because they take care of the backpack and all the logistic, and all you have to do is walk. And I said, okay, I can do it. And then after 3 days, today's the third day, and I realized it's way too difficult. It's way too much for me, and there's really no guide, and I don't know how to walk alone in nature, and I didn't feel it was really structured, and there was a protection, and I was able to say stop, and yeah. That's... Okay. And when you called me this afternoon, I was still very confused, you know, and felt like it's a dream that didn't come true, or maybe I dreamt too high and I couldn't make it. And I had really mixed feelings. And finally, I ended up from staying in a tent with sleeping bags and not sleeping, I ended up going in a little bed and breakfast place where I have a good bed, a shower and a jacuzzi. And I'm like, am I getting, is it the age? It's not, it's because also I'm not prepared and a lot of things like that. So it raised a lot of questions of how you should be dreaming. And how you have to bring your dreams back to the reality of what you are now and who you are.
Well, and so you were interested in being on the trail. Did you do any preparation of walking so that you were walking so many miles, you know, like a mile a day?
I did. But it was walking on the beach or walking in water a lot. I did some jogging in the water and also did some musculation, you know, exercises, you know, on the beach. And but it's not like hiking regularly on in the mountains or something, that which is something I should do once a week or twice a week for three, four hours and build it up. I thought the association would work like that, for building it up. And indeed, they're sending it us with an application and with a telephone. And I got really freaked out because I didn't charge that application with the map and the trail. And in order to charge it, I needed my Facebook number. And I'm like, I'm in the middle of wilderness and I did not bring all my codes and whatever, you know, like, right. It was kind of absurd. It was, so it's just like that. But yeah, well, I will be working more.
Yeah, and find a group that walks in the places that you want to walk and follow that dream, yeah. And go, yeah, into the mountains and, you know.
Yeah, great. Not for 2.5 months, but once a week, regularly.
Exactly. Super. Okay. So thank you very much it was really, it was great that we could possibly share this with you. And so I want to hear how it goes. Find it. You want to be on a trail, find a group and do
absolutely
your dream in a different way.
I will.
So what I would like to do, there's in the chat, we're talking about the work that Janice Mueller has been bringing to us, the idea of this really interesting effects of the 1.25 circle. And we've been spending a lot of time with it in the last little while in our groups. And Denise, we transcribed the group and we're going to have to cut it down so that it's really a little clearer. And it's been incredible because this 1.25 circle is this amazing spiral, the golden ratio spiral that's in all of nature. And I'm certain that this is one of the reasons that the 1.25, that the T-Touch works so well. But I just didn't want to go on doing that in our classes because it's been what we've been doing for the last few times. So we will come back to it. So we are going to now take a 10-minute break. It's 10 after. We're going to come back at 20 after. And Ava, we may say goodnight to you.
I will stay for Denise and then I'll go to bed. Because it's interesting. Thank you.
Well, I think we're going to bring Denise up the next time. I'm just going to move on like this. And we'll bring it up. Unless you can do like a 5-minute overview, which Denise has been so incredible. We'll introduce it again. We've done this before in the class, but we'll do it again. So back in 10.
Okay. Sandra, I'm sneaking in between students.
Linda?
Just a second. I have to stop the recording.
Okay.